Blog Talk Radio.
Hi folks, it's Chris Daly, and as always, we come to you with great, interesting things happening by Jamaicans making a difference in this world, and do we have a doozy for you. We have an interview with Roy Anderson, the great filmmaker. What happens when a filmmaker such as Roy Anderson gets together with a history professor like Harcourt Fuller, and they decide to collaborate? What we get is an award-winning film that goes deep in insight into Queen Nanette, that legendary Maroon chieftain. It's a documentary that examines this mysterious figure and will bring to light some of her attributes that you're not aware of. To do the interview, I have my partner, Janice, to do that. Janice, take it away.
Thank you so much, Chris. March is Women's History Month. So it was very appropriate to have the only female national hero for Jamaica. We have a movie about her, and we have the director-producer, Roy Anderson. Roy, thanks for spending some time with us.
Thanks for having me. Thank you so much.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about your Jamaican roots.
Well, as they would say, I was born in Yard, you know? I'm a proud Jamaican.
Awesome.
I'm actually an independence baby, so how
okay.
Fitting. You know, I was born on the south coast of Jamaica in St. Elizabeth, my folks trekked over to Canada when I was very young, and I had no choice, but I had to follow them. Very happy I did.
And we're happy that you're here. You're a filmmaker. What motivated you to develop this career path?
I would really say that this is something that happened not by design. You know, I've been already in the industry for a very long time, since 1981, as a stuntman and stunt coordinator and actor. And this thing about wanting to be a filmmaker is something that just materialized within the last, you know, 8 or 9 years or so. And a lot of this is because of my curious nature. As I said earlier, I'm a proud Jamaican, and this curious thing came about as I questioned a lot of family members about our roots, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the first film that I did, A Quant of the Journey, was really born out of frustration of not, you know, getting the right answers from family members and so forth. So I had to dig even deeper, and then in the process of, you know, doing the research, you know, going to places like, you know, the Mormon Church Family History Centers and, you know, finding about our proud stock, which is the Maroons, I decided that, you know, this wasn't going to be no little genealogy project, but a full-blown treatment on the Maroons.
And we appreciate that, because I don't know if there are any other movies about Nanny. Were you motivated by any film person?
I would have to say definitely. You know, I've been on movie sets with, you know, great directors.
And for some of people, why don't you tell our audience some of the movies that you were a stunt person in?
All right. I've been in Shaft. I worked on that. Born Ultimatum, American Gangster, Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah.
Worked on a bunch of, you know.
And
go ahead.
You have a very strong resume. We just wanted the community to know a little taste of the Jamaican impact of such fine films.
Yes.
So, what do you hope to do with this tool to impact our community?
Well, I think first and foremost, my number one aim is to educate. And then along the way, if I can inspire folks, that's a bonus. And of course, I try and, you know, go for the entertainment value as well, too. So, you know, if I can accomplish all three of those things, then I'd be a very, very happy man.
Nanny has been around for a while. What drove the determination to give us insight on this great woman?
Great question. Nanny really was an outgrowth of my first film. The first film that I did came out in 2012 called A Quanta the Journey. And it started off, you know, the film started out as a unique personal journey for myself, but then morphed into a more significant history of the Maroons of Jamaica. And, of course, you know, Nanny was one of the heroes in that struggle.
We do have a Jamaican audience, there are some people who are not Jamaican, so they would like to know a little bit about Nanny. Who is Nanny, and what did she accomplish? Why is she considered a national hero?
Well, she is one of the leaders of one of the most successful slave rebellion in not just Jamaica, but in the New World. And she's a trailblazer that came along before such luminaries as Sojourner Truth and Harriet Tubman and so forth. So you have a woman leading the men in the mountains of Jamaica, something that's totally foreign, you know, to the colonizers, to the British and the Spanish. And so it was only fitting that, you know, she was named the national hero in 1976 for what she did.
Yes, and that's important because if you look even in African history, like Queen Nzinga or Hechuva or those other ones, because they are not used to that, they're not used to a matrilineal society, they're taken off guard, and that's why they're able to be defeated. So maybe they need more women leading the charge. The Maroons are very guarded with their culture for obvious reasons. How did you get access to such sacred ground?
Well, I'm a Maroon myself, so I hopefully that counted for something.
Okay. Well, that was definitely an access pass right there. I didn't know that.
Right, but it wasn't so easy, though, you know. Even though I'm a Maroon, I may have been considered an Abruni, as they would call it, or an outsider, right? But as I was able to build up more and more trust, they opened up to me slowly, and they saw that the treatment that I was going to give the culture is one that would, show the sensibilities of one that really appreciates, our rich history. So for them, that was very important.
I see. I remember when the movie first started, the guy was talking, and at first I thought, I'm thinking, is this patois? Is this, which was that? I was just kind of thrown a bit. I mean, I recognize after a while he started talking in patois, but was that a Ghanaian language, or what is that?
No, it's an esoteric language, and it's called Cromanti.
Cromanti, okay.
Which is basically, I don't like to use the word bastardization, but it's a mix of the Chi language, dialect from Ghana.
Okay.
With some English. And with the Jamaican patois.
Yeah, because I picked up the patois, but I was like, wait, he's speaking something else here. And thank God you had the foresight to put subtitles in the front and the bottom of that, because nobody else. I'm Jamaican, and I had to start listening carefully.
the thing is, if it was too recognizable, then that wouldn't have worked against the British, when they were fighting them back a few hundred years ago. So this is how they communicate amongst each other.
Oh, okay. So that's very interesting. I know a lot of people will be appreciative of that, the Cromanti. And just the accomplishment of the Maroons. Basically, the British couldn't deal with them anymore, so they eventually had to make peace with the Maroons and have them do their own thing. And that's important. That's very important. Doing this type of work involves many folks, resources. How did you fund this endeavor?
This project, like the first one, was self-funded. This second one, I was thankful to have some people take some of the load off my back a little bit. Professor Fuller contributed, not only financially, but his time and efforts and his expertise as a scholar. You know, we were able to get assistance from the Jamaican Defense Force. So they provided to us a helicopter when we were, well, at least use of
the
helicopter.
Overhead shots? The overhead shots?
Yes, for the overhead shots. And also that allowed us to bring in equipment, you know, into the mountains.
And
personnel.
Oh, yeah.
It's $2,000 an hour to rent a helicopter.
Yeah, I can imagine. But I'm just saying, you know, I never even thought of that logistical thing to actually bring the equipment because that's a hike if you had to do that by yourself.
Well, let me tell
you something. I think you would have made it.
Well, let me tell you something. This was a filmed expedition, so it consisted of about 35 people, and the only ones lucky enough to go up in the helicopter was about, you know, three or four of us, you know, myself, my director of photography, and we basically had my wife, who also is a co-producer on the film, she led the folks on the ground on a 12-mile trek through the woods, and that literally lasted all day.
Yeah,
all day.
And in the film, I was just curious, it seems like all of them had, like stuff wrapped around them. Was that like insect repellent, or is that just to get one with the nature? Why did everybody have those things wrapped around them?
I'm glad you mentioned that. I mean, that bush is very important to the Maroons. It's called a cocoon bush. And so basically, if you wrap enough of that around your body, it camouflages you. So this is what they were able to use when they went into battle against, the soldiers, the British soldiers and the Spanish soldiers who are coming to the hills to capture them. So they're able to disguise themselves and blend in with the environment.
Oh, wow. And then you notice, like, say, in modern warfare, sometimes when you see those go army or something, you see them all dressed up in that camouflage stuff. So
exactly. Exactly.
That's like a long history of that. I couldn't think, and at first I'm thinking, well, maybe it's insect repellent, you know,
right.
And then you put it on it to keep the bugs off. Yeah, I wasn't quite sure what was going on there, you know. How can folks invest to ensure that you produce a high-quality film like this?
Pardon me, I didn't hear that question.
Well, okay. How can folks ensure that we produce more of these? This is good work. This is excellent work. And we need more of this caliber of films as opposed to some of the other questionable films that I will not be interviewing the director on.
They shall remain nameless.
They should be erased from the delete button. It's what they should be. But, you know, how we get more people to invest in this, what would you like the community or the public listening to get more of this type of film being produced?
Well, I think, number one, it starts with the filmmaker and his team really appreciating the subject matter. You have to have a profound appreciation for the story that you want to tell. It's only then that I think you can really do it justice. And, you know, for me, it's a no-brainer. I'm a Maroon, so I'm going to make sure that the story that I put out is in the best light. But number one, in the film, you know, I tell people that I'm not setting out to do a propaganda piece. I'm trying to be as balanced and objective as possible because... Go ahead.
It's so important that you tell your own story. And I see this over and over again, because you see movies made about, say, Black American culture or African cultures, and they're not Black Americans making it, or they're not Africans. And so the authenticity isn't there, and it's also, there might be some sort of hidden agenda. What do you really want to say? Yeah, or somebody pirates your culture. Like right now, I don't know if it came out yet, but We Were Gods of Egypt. And we're all white people. And
right.
If you are not a reading person, you you are going to believe it? And when you say, you know, this is a flat out lie, they keep doing it, gods of Egypt, princes of Egypt, it goes on and on and on. How can you tell me that it's white people when all the hieroglyphics and all the things involve brown people? I mean, you may have one or two clear-skinned people, but they're all brown. They all have African features. Some of them have dreadlocks, but they want you to believe something else. So I'm just saying that to bringing it back to your documentary. It's important to tell your own story, because if somebody else tells your story, they may have a hidden agenda, which may not be to your benefit.
You know that old African proverb that the tail of the hunt always glorify the hunter?
Quite true.
So until the lion can really tell his story, that's the only time that it's going to do it really true justice.
Mm-hmm. Very, very true.
And the thing is, what I often say to people is, the story that I tell, it may not necessarily, you know, I'm not the be-all that end-all of Maroon history.
Mm-hmm.
But what I bring to the table is the sensibility. And, mm-hmm. I bring a very specific lens that's not clouded.
Mm. So what has, quite true. And so what has been the response to the showing to date?
Oh, the response has been just overwhelming. You know, when we world premiered the film at the United Nations last October, we had almost 600 people in the audience.
Mm.
That was the first time that an event like that had so much participation from the community, because usually a lot of those events at the UN are in-house, you know, guests of the ambassadors, the diplomats, and so forth. But the community was really, really engaged. And then the following night, we screened it at the Schomburg Research Center in Harlem. And again, mm-hmm. you know, this was standing room only.
Yeah.
This was just the second showing, so I really didn't know what to say.
Well, it's good that it's approved, and we respect you and appreciate you for doing that. So we're happy for you. So how can folks gain access to your fine work?
Well, the unfortunate thing is Queen Nanny just came out, so the DVD is not available as yet. We're hoping, fingers crossed, that maybe early summer the DVD might be out. So right now what we're doing is we're doing special screenings, UN screenings, film festivals, some community screenings. You know, folks who want to host a screening of Queen Nanny, even though it's not released, they can always contact us through our Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
And we can arrange for them, you know, the groups or individuals to host a screening of the film.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just to let you know that, you know, we have a unique relationship with the United Nations right now through one of their agencies, the Department of Public Information. You know, they were just so blown away with Queen Nanny that they approached us to make the film available to screen at some of their information centers around the world. And this is being done in honor of Slavery Remembrance Day, which is celebrated every March 25th.
Yeah. I remember Portia Simpson, the former prime minister. Was it last year that they had a memorial
Yes, they unveiled a permanent memorial to slavery at the United Nations, on the grounds of the UN.
Right. I remember something like that. Yeah.
And I can tell you that leading that effort is the ambassador, the Jamaican ambassador to the UN.
Awesome. See, we're always trailblazers. If you notice that, you know, there's only, 2 million of us on the island and maybe 2 million of us. So for if you think about it, proportion-wise, we brought music, athleticism, we tend to accelerate. And if we've just given the opportunity, we accelerated so many levels, it's unbelievable. So what can we expect next from Anthony?
Oh, you didn't want me to spill the beans that early, do you?
No, okay. Well, you know what? We're going to hold that for the next interview we have with you. And we know
I can give you a quick tease. Two words, Marcus Garvey.
Awesome. You know that you've just wet our dumb taste buds for some more and more and more. So give us some final thoughts. Any final thoughts to share out there?
Well, I'm really happy that, you know, 11 countries in the African continent will be able to see Queen Nanny in 3 weeks. And I think, you know, I think as they look on and see the work that's happening in the diaspora, that there really is that continuity between Africa and the Americas. And really and truly, I mean, that's my aim with telling these stories, is to show that continuity, that no, you know, slavery may have beaten us down, but in the end, we have won because our people have maintained the culture 300, 400 years later.
They tried to beat it out of us, but the spirits, the African spirits, rise and continue to rise. So, to learn more about Chris Daly, visit Digital to Grow Media. To learn more about Jamaican Diaspora, visit JamaicanDiaspora.com. And if you want to learn, do the any private screenings, contact Roy Anderson in any way, visit his Facebook site at Nanny Facebook, Nanny the Movie. It has been a pleasure talking to you. This was a wonderful example of Women's History Month, and we really appreciate you. So we'll talk to you soon, and thanks for spending some time with us. Bye
now. You're welcome.